chapter 2 this morning, Revelation chapter 2. I believe out of all seven letters, I believe these next two letters to the church at Pergamos and Thyatira is most relevant for our generation today. I know most people jump right to Laodicea, the last church, and say that's the church age in which we live. And yet I believe these next two churches, Pergamos and Thyatira, are most relevant for the age in which we live in today. I think they have exhortations and warnings which we all must take heed of in this generation of compromise and neglect, this age of indifference and spiritual apathy towards the things of Christ, this liberal-minded generation in which we live in, which seeks to bury the truth under a pretense of charity. I think these next two churches have much to say to our generation. Both of these churches, we have the words, but I have a few things against thee. Both in Pergamos and Thyatira, our Lord would give a list of good qualities and gracious virtues, and yet in the very next breath would say, but I have a few things against thee. Though they had held fast His name and did not deny His faith, and even though some had even faithfully suffered martyrdom, which is a great sacrifice for the cause of Christ, most people would say those are gracious and good qualities which should outshine any bad qualities that church would have. And yet there was something in their midst that tainted and marred such excellent qualities in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, namely Jesus Christ. When we read of these qualities, we're humbled, thinking, Lord, I wish that I had half of them. I wish that I could faithfully say that I have held fast Your name. I wish that I could say that I have not denied Your faith. And oh Lord, that I could suffer martyrdom for Your cause. And yet our Lord sees differently as we do. The Lord seeth not as men seeth, nor are His thoughts our thoughts, or our ways His ways. For man would often weigh the good against the evil that he does in his attempts to excuse and justify his sinful and unbiblical practices. Lord, I might be weak in this area, but oh, I'm strong in this one, and therefore weigh me in the balance, and if my good outweighs my bad, then my bad is excusable. If my good qualities are more than my bad qualities, then Lord, I'm justified in doing bad, unbiblical practices. That's how man thinks. And yet God doesn't think like that. God says in Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. A false balance. But a just weight is His delight. God delights in things being a just weight. You remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 who came to the Lord running and fell down on his knees before our Lord and said, what must I do to be saved? And our Lord asked him, what saith the commandments? And their young rich ruler named off almost every commandment. And the Lord said, keep these. And he says, I've kept them all from my youth. And yet what did our Lord say? Yet thou lackest one thing. Go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. All his fervent labor to keep all the commandments of God from his youth did nothing because he lacked one thing. And that one thing would forever turn his heart away from God. For the young man, the Bible says, turned and walked away, never to come back to Christ again, merely for one thing. You see how God weighs things differently than mankind will? God says you might have good qualities, and that's good and commendable. You might have gracious virtues given to you by the Holy Spirit. You might have faith and charity and patience. You might even suffer martyrdom in my name. But all those good qualities, in my eyes, can be marred and tainted if you have one bad thing. Israel was condemned for mixing their wine with water because it weakened and diluted it. It made it useless. And the illustration is you can't mix truth with error and hope to come out with the same product. God says, I don't work that way. Mankind might work that way, but God says, I don't work that way. It must be pure truth, not mixed with error, not mixed with corruption. It must be pure truth. So it was with the churches in Pergamos and Thyatira. For though they both possessed many good and gracious qualities, their mixing them with sinful and unbiblical practices weakened them and made them in many ways useless in the cause of Christ. You have these good qualities, yet because you have these few things that are against you, it's making them of none effect. And beloved, that's exactly what's happened to a lot of believers. A lot of churches. If we could just grasp what God is saying to us in these letters to these churches and seek by His grace to keep a just balance, then I pray and believe that our testimony before the world would be much more greater and effective. A little leaven, our Lord said, leaven the whole lump. Remember when He told the disciples? He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciple says, well, He's mad at us because we forgot to bring bread like last time when He fed the 4,000 or 5,000. And He says, the leaven I'm speaking about is not bread. The leaven, and He says, the leaven I'm speaking about is the doctrine of the Pharisees. Beware of that doctrine, teaching of the Pharisees, because that little leaven can leaveleth, influence, corrupt the whole lump. That's exactly what happened to these two churches. Though they had good qualities, each and every one of them qualities was tainted and marred and rendered useless because of them allowing false doctrine and worldliness to come into the church. They were of none effect. Beloved, I believe this is many churches' major problem. If you look around today, even in Coleman, where the Coleman boasts of having 22 churches, most of our churches today are very few in number. Very few in number. The church has little effect upon the world, little influence upon the world, like days gone by. The testimony of Christians are weak and feeble. We don't show a separation from the world. We don't show ourselves different from the world anymore. We've kind of compromised and we've made ourselves more like the world in hopes of gaining the world's trust and confidence and approval. We've tainted any, if all, our good gracious qualities by the Spirit of God by mixing them together. That's why I say these two letters are most relevant for this day and age in which we live in. The church at Pergamos tolerated an unholy alliance with the world and those who taught corrupt doctrine. Look at verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Doctrine is teaching. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Twice he says doctrine. Doctrine of Balaam, doctrine of the Nicolaitans, teaching. Now I won't go through the whole story for lack of time, but Balaam was the prophet that was called to curse Israel. when they were going through the wilderness, and instead of cursing Israel, God forced him to bless them. So what Balaam did is he was being deceitful about all of that. What he did later, because God had forced him to bless Israel, is he corrupted Israel by teaching them false doctrine that they would sacrifice to idols and commit fornication. And he caused the stumbling block to come upon Israel, which is a picture of the world. Worldliness that entered into the church at Pergamos. They begin to act more like the world than like Christians. They begin taking on their entertainment. They begin copying them. Even while they're saying, we're not denying the faith and we're holding on to the name of Christ. We're saying we're Christians, but we're going to kind of fit ourselves more to the world so that we might be more approved by the world. And so they had an unholy alliance with the world. We have this all over in churches today. A lot of churches, if you go into churches today, you'd think that you was watching television. With all the worldly entertainment that they have to try to lure people in. And this is what they did in Pergamos. And they thought it was okay because we're still holding on to the name of Christ. We're not denying His faith. And so therefore, we're still Christians. We're just not like the old Christians used to be. It's a new generation. We have to change with times. We have to change with the culture. We have to make ourselves more appealing to the world if we're going to gain the world's acceptance. That's what the church of Pergamos did. And the Lord said, that's not good. That's unbiblical. Christians were never intended to fit the fashion, styles, pleasures of the world. You're in the world, our Lord said, but you're not of it. If you have the love of the world in your heart, you don't have the love of the Father. The one thing that really is the most dangerous against our love for God is when we have love for the world in our heart. Because it draws, it withdraws, it drains our love for God from our heart, and we begin loving the world more than we do God. That's what they did. They didn't deny Christ, but they sure endured the worldly pleasures. And so they made this unholy alliance with the world. Justifying it. Claiming that this was justified. It is important that the church reminds themselves constantly of the importance of maintaining and preserving good, sound doctrine. And by that I mean teachings, which is in the Scripture. Good, sound doctrine. This is what these letters are showing us. You can't corrupt good, sound doctrine with false doctrine. He calls them doctrine of Balaam. His teaching. Well, we're at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is what Paul says concerning the latter days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to read this. It's very important. Listen to what he says. It has a lot to do with these two letters. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, and we'll read down through chapter 4, verse 4. Listen to what he says. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He's talking about Scripture. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works, all good works. I charge thee therefore, because of what he just said about Scripture, and how Scripture alone is able to make a man thoroughly good unto all good works, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in His appearing and His kingdom, preach that same word. He's talking about all Scripture. Preach that same word. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, preach it even when people don't want to hear it. Be faithful to it. If people approve of it or not, you, Timothy, continue to preach that word of God. Reprove, exhort, with all rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, teaching. They won't endure it. They'll dislike it. They'll reproach it. They'll persecute it. They'll endeavor to banish it from them. We don't want doctrine. We don't want teaching. How often do we hear that today, especially in TV evangelists? Let's get rid of doctrine. Doctrine divides. Doctrine is always intended to divide the truth from error. Churches today say we don't need doctrine. We just need Christ. Be careful of that. You can't have Christ without right doctrine. Doctrine is important. Teaching is important. It matters what a church believes. And most people don't look behind the curtain. They look at the name of the church and say, well, this must be a Christian church because they all profess to be Christian. Look behind the curtain. What do you teach? Do you believe in the Trinity? Do you believe in the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you believe salvation by grace through faith alone without works? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. See that? After their own lust. This is what I like. This is what appeals to me. This is what appeals to my flesh. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Storytelling. This was happening in the church at Pergamos and Thyatira. Thyatira was tolerating heresies. A woman named Jezebel was teaching false doctrine. They tolerated that. Well, that's okay. We're still a Christian church. So there's not thoroughly good doctrine here. And though she's teaching something unbiblical, it's not that bad. And there's many Christians today, good Christians, I believe born-again believers in churches that are teaching false teachings. And yet because it has the name Christian on the door, they tolerate it. Where sound doctrine is not preserved and endured, there will eventually be a turning away from the truth. This is what's happened. If you would study and investigate church history, just simply over the last 50 years, some of you here this morning, who are over 70, 80 years old, you can testify for yourself how quickly the churches have changed. It's not like what it used to be. What they tolerate today, you'd have never found in a church 50 years ago. What the preachers are preaching today would never be sounded in churches 50 years ago. The entertainment they're proposing in churches today would never be found in churches 50 years ago. And the world says, well, that's old tradition. That's legalism. The churches have changed. There will be eventual turning away from the truth if we don't preserve and maintain good, sound doctrine. Sound teaching. Biblical teaching. The church will move away from that. And when they move away from that, they'll get away from the truth and they'll turn their ears to fables. In other words, storytelling. In most churches today, they'll read a passage of Scripture, close the Bible, and he'll start telling you stories for 45 minutes about Aunt Fable's dog and how it made it through the winter, and people get teary-eyed. And that's about all they'll say. Most preaching today, especially TV evangelists, are storytelling. You won't turn your Bible once. That's what people like to hear. Look at Jude chapter 3. I want you to see this. This is vitally important, and I'm very energetic about it. Always have been, but I want you to understand the error. I want you to understand the danger of allowing just a small little bit a false teaching to enter in, worldliness to enter in. It will eventually corrupt everything. Look at Jude, verse 3 and 4. There's only one chapter in Jude. It's the book before Revelation, the little tiny book before Revelation. Jude 3 and 4. Listen to this. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Listen to his urgent plea. I did it diligently. It was needful to write unto you. You sense the urgency in his words? Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Crept in where? Into the churches. Unnoticed by the most of them. Unaware. who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, God knew it would happen. Watch this. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into his lasciviousness. In other words, using the grace of God to excuse their sins. God is a God of grace, of love and mercy. So if I sin, it doesn't make any difference. God's grace is greater, so I continue to sin. I can continue to look at the pornographies. I can continue to drink the alcohol and get drunk. I can continue my lifestyle because grace abounds more than my sin. They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're using it for a cloak to commit their sins. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they're crept into the churches. Therefore, I'm diligent writing to you, contend for the faith that was once delivered. Because these ungodly men are amongst you even now. They're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Beware of that. That's why Peter said, beware, if you know these things, that you fall not from your own steadfastness. Beware of these things. Look over in 2 Peter, a few books in front of that. Just a few books in front of Jude. I want you to read this for your own this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2. Listen to what Peter says, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, privately, secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies, teachings, damnables, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, there's the way of truth again, shall be evil spoken of. We don't need to go that way. That's too narrow. You're too conservative. You're legalistic. You need to be more liberal-minded about these things. You need to be more open-minded about these things. These things aren't of themselves bad or terrible. Sure, they might not be biblical, but the end justifies the means. Be careful. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Watch this. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Listen to that. Which covetousness? Make merchandise of you. As though you were something to purchase and buy and sell. You ever notice in TV evangelists? Said, send us your letter and I'll send you this sweat rag I have and it'll heal you. Just send in your money and you'll be rich. Just give me your money. And they're making merchandise of men's souls. Whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Beloved, there's many more other passages of Scripture in the New Testament which warns us of these evil times and the deception and evilness, and that's why the Bible says, contend for the faith which was once given. Beware. There is a widespread gullibility and naiveness amongst many professing believers today. Gullibility. Oh, preacher, it's not that bad. Well, it sounds and looks just like the world. Well, that doesn't make a difference. As long as Christ's name is in there, it's got to be Christian. It's got to be good. Gullibility. Naive. A desire to appear charitable and liberal-minded when it comes to doctrine. Let's not be so straight and narrow-minded. This is 2011. This isn't 17th, 18th century. We don't have to be so narrow-minded and conservative about things. Let's open up ourselves a little bit more. Let's be more like the world is. Let's bring the world into the church. Let's become more like them. And in doing so, we might win more to Christ. Be careful. And those who endure sound doctrine are considered narrow-minded and legalistic. Preacher, you're just too narrow-minded. That's not the kind of church for me. I want a church that gives me liberty to live like I want, sin like I want, and still say I'm saved by the grace of God. That's unbiblical.
And there's a lot of churches out there. I say churches, I call them churches, but in reality they're not. There's a lot of places out there that will offer that to you. There are many para-mega churches, huge churches today, and I call them churches and I say that sarcastically, who will tell you publicly, come to our church and we will not preach on sin. You'll never hear a negative message because everything about God is positive and God wants you to be happy forever. Well, God does want us to be happy in Jesus Christ, but not at the expense of His salvation or His blood so that we might live a sinful life. He didn't die for that. He died to bring us out of the world. He died to make us strangers and pilgrims in this world. He died to reconcile us back to God. He died that we might be made righteous in Him before God. He didn't die to make our life in this world more pleasant and more comfortable. We'll never be pleasant and comfortable in this life as long as we live for Christ, because the world will hate us. That's what Christ said. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if the world is embracing us, then something's wrong with our testimony. We don't purposely go out and try to be hated. But when you try to live a holy, righteous life in Christ, that's the natural thing that's going to happen. Our Lord said they won't come to the light because they don't like the light. When I work in school, at night times when I'm vacuuming in rooms, I go into a room, we get a lot of problems with cockroaches and crickets now. They're all over the place in the school. But you go in a room that's dark and turn on the light, if there's cockroaches in there, what's the first thing they do? They don't like the light. They'll scatter. And you and I start living the Christian life, and we start being a light for Christ, and showing our love for God and His truth and holiness, and desiring to be more sanctified, the world is going to reject us. They're going to do like them cockroaches and they're going to run from us. You can't mix those things. You can't mix water and wine, dearly beloved. You can't mix truth and error. It doesn't work because it will eventually lead to one denying the faith. I'm hurrying. Let me close with this. False doctrine and worldliness are a very dangerous mixture. And one will eventually lead to the other one. If you'll read the church at Thyatira, I won't read it again, but they abounded above all of the churches in works. They abounded above all of the churches in works. Yet our tolerating of heresy would render them useless and futile in the eyes of the Lord. Let me close with a verse from Isaiah 59. I'll just read it. You can write it down and read it later if you like. Isaiah 59, 14 to 15. Listen to what he said. The prophet said, judgment is turned away backward and justice standeth afar off. Listen to it. Judgment is turned away backward and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen into the street and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment, no discernment. Truth has fallen in the street, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And that's exactly what's happened today. Those who depart from evil strive to live a good, godly Christian life, even with all their shortcomings and failings, strive to live for Christ, that Christ might shine through them. They become a prey in this world of compromise and gullibility. From those who profess to be Christians, you're too narrow-minded, you're too conservative, you're too legalistic, that's not what God wants, and therefore we want nothing to do with you. You'll become a prey. Beloved, no two letters among these seven churches are more relevant for our generation than these two letters to Pergamos and Thyatira. They carry with them strong exhortations and warnings. Let's not try to be more like the world. Let's not tolerate false teaching. If it's not biblical, it's not right. Let's not join in and make unholy alliances. Be careful that the world slip not into your heart and begin to drain that love of God from you. Because before long, you're going to find yourself weakened and rendered useless. Your love for the Scriptures will slowly begin to fade. You'll not pray as often as you did before. But the things of the world begin to get more stronger, and the lust for those things begin to grow, and before long, you have more enjoyment in those things than you do in these things. And yet you'll still say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'll not deny the Lord. I just want the best of both worlds. Believe me, eventually you will turn your back on this book. Eventually you'll depart from the faith and become apostate. A just balance is what God requires. That is what a Christian longs for. God, give us grace to not give in to these worldly influences, not tolerate false teaching and heresy, even the smallest, so that we might remain on that straight and narrow path, and that we might know something of the joy of the Lord in its fullness. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. May God give us grace to learn from these two churches, Pergamos and Thyatira. May God give us grace to apply them to our own hearts and lives. Not a very positive message this morning, but a very needful one. Maybe some of you here this morning, because you live here in the nursing home, think this doesn't have any relevance for you, but it does. Just as much as it does for the members in our church. God give us grace not to succumb to the worldliness that is out there and the false teachings, even a little bit. Give us a just balance. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that these words of exhortation from Thy Word would enter deep into our hearts and our affections. Let it work effectually in us, that, Lord, our lives would be changed. Lord, that we'd have a desire to be more sanctified, more holy. Keep us, we pray, from the evil in this world. Lord, in Your Word, You said in the Lord's Prayer, keep us from temptation. Keep us from the evil of the world. Lord, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, we pray that You'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. Help us, we pray, in these perilous times, to be a light and a testimony for our beloved Lord and Savior, who gave His life that we might have eternal life. Father, we love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.